We're just checking out the vital organs here. I got my left hand works, my right hand works. Okay, we're in business. Away we go. You know, talk about great blessings. Mr. Conway asked, what are the, about the... I'm looking at maybe the greatest blessing that we have. The greatest thing that we have been given as God's people. And you can have different answers for this, but the thing I'm looking at right at the moment is the fact that you to our Father in heaven. How many times you have problems and you need help bigger than something the lawyer could help you or somebody else or you could do yourself. God is our foundation. This is what we need to grow in as Christians, is that we need God, desperately need God. And we need to be totally open and honest with God. There's no hiding anything from God, is there? You may think, I'm not going to say this to God, but God's going to know. He knows not only our... It's amazing. And we need to pour out ourselves to our Father in heaven all the time. It is vital. In the Bible, what does it always talk about as us as God's people? You're your children of God. The children of God. We're going to be, if we are transformed into immortal beings, that isn't going to change. We are going to be children of God. And that's a wonderful thing. Just like our little children, they need a parent to be over them and to help them. We need our Father in heaven to be over us. We need to have things that we need to be able to let go of. And ask for help and know that God is there and listens to us and wants the best for us. The title of the sermon, Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. There's a song in our hymnal called Thank You, Lord. Think for a minute the greatness of God. We can't imagine, it's incomprehensible to me, and I'm sure it is to you as well. Our Father is in heaven. How many people are praying to Him at this very moment? How many? And if they're His people, I mean, there's a lot of people pray to God, and God never hears them because they don't really want God. They want their own ways. But those who are truly obedient, trying to obey God, God hears them. He not only hears their words, He hears their heart. He knows their heart. And He decides that prayer, okay, they're requesting something. Is it for good or is it not for good? And then He reacts on that way. How can He do that? I don't know. That is... It's incomprehensible to me to understand the greatness of God. How He can be able to reach out and do these things. And Mr. Conway talked about the language. It doesn't make any difference to God. I don't know how many hundreds of languages there are out there. God knows it. And they don't have to verbalize those words. He reads their mind when they're praying. That's incomprehensible. I just, unfathomable. That is our God. And He cares. He truly cares. Let's go to Psalm chapter 8, first of all. Psalm chapter 8. And starting in verse 3. David. I've just brought up the things of God. David was thinking the same things here in Psalm 8, verse 3. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, think of how God started in creation. He put the earth just the right distance from the sun. He spun it just so we have the four seasons. All of the greatness, this is the universe we're talking about. This is God is over the universe. Verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? How can God be so great that he even cares about us? That word visit, the son of man that you visit him, in the Hebrew, I'm going to pronounce it Pakad, P-A-Q-A-D. It means not only visit, but it's but God remembers us. But God cares for us. That would probably be the best way to describe it. God and the Son of Man that you, God, care for him. And he truly does. He looks down and his heart is with us. God has invested in you and me. At one point, he looked down and he decided to call us. And when we said yes, God has a goal for us, his kingdom. That's his goal. And he is working to get us there. And he's on our side 100% of the time. My question is, knowing how great he is, how much he cares for us, do we express our thanks to God? Like I said, the title is, Thank You, Lord. We need to show our appreciation to him. It's one thing to have it, but when we pray, do we express our thanks to him for all of the greatness that he has given to us? A son should. As a son, we should do that for our father. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, give your requests, or let your requests be made known to God. You know, we go before God, we ask God for help, and it says, be anxious for nothing. When we give our request to God, you know, that should make us feel better. We should be satisfied that we're giving our request to God. And then it throws in here, with thanksgiving. And I'm going to go through three verses that talk about thanksgiving. And it's just amazing how these are brought up to show that we need to be thankful in the midst of our prayers, don't we? We really do. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you pray to God, when you put your problems on God, and you show your gratitude to God, you know, it's like taking a weight off of you and giving it to our Father in heaven. And it should give us a sense of peace, knowing that we've done our part. And sometimes we don't know what to do with that problem, but we lay it in God's hands, and that should give us some peace. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Positive attitude. Looking on the positive. It's a world that has a lot of negative. And it's so easy. And your lives can be so wrapped up in so many problems. But God says, think on the positive. Think on the positive. There's nothing more positive than having our Father in heaven on our side. That's about as good as it gets. And we should be thankful for that. Let's go to Colossians 4. We got little books here, but they're just real close to each other. Colossians is the next one. Colossians 4 and verse 2 again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In other words, not that you pray all the time, but you never have that time period where you forget to pray for a couple of days or anything like this. We need to set it in our lives and be regular in our prayers. And I feel in the morning before you start the day, you need, and throughout the day, whenever things come around, you need to pray to God. Pray without ceasing. Always be ready at that moment you need God's help to be willing to pray. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ. When you pray, in everything, give thanks. It's the will of God and Jesus Christ that we give thanks. It's God's will. It's God, what God wants in our prayers, to be giving thanks. If you think about Christ's example prayer, very short, isn't it? And it's and yet, how does he start it? Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. And then he concludes by talking about the greatness of God again at the end of the prayer. Starts it with thank you, ends it with a thank you, or the greatness of God. There's so many times, and it's not wrong. There's going to be times in your life you have a problem, and you come to God, and you hit it on the head when you started out, and you're going to pray. And that's what your prayer is about. And that's not wrong. It's really not wrong. David, you can go in the book of Psalms and you're going to find some Psalms that David really isn't thanking God. He's just bringing his troubles to God. But God wants to hear us. And he's there for us. And he knows the heart. So he knows where the person's coming from. It isn't neglect or it isn't. He's just, a person sometimes gets so wrapped up. So don't feel bad if you totally forget to do that. But we should make it a habit to really be focused on God and being thankful to God. I've got three things that I'm going to just bring up to be thankful for. And this is surely not exhaustive. You may put together three other totally different points. I tried to get three areas that are a little bit separate from each other, and yet kind of looking at the big picture of prayer and thankfulness toward God. I mean, honestly, each one of these points could be brought into a sermon in its own. But I just kind of tried to figure those things that really we need to thank God for. Point number one: the holy days, which show the plan for mankind. The holy days, which show the plan for mankind. There are Christian churches out there. Most of the world is not Christian at all. But those who are Christian, most do not know God's plan. They don't get it. They really don't get it. And you and I wouldn't get it either, except God gave us these holy days. It shows us, from beginning to end, what God's plan was when he created mankind. The whole picture. Let's go to Revelation 5. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I don't have enough time. And I'm always in trouble. You know I'm always in trouble to be able to get my sermons in as it is. So I'm just going to give you a scripture here and kind of take it from that. Revelation chapter 5, and starting in verse 8. This is looking at the very end time. Jesus Christ is soon coming down to this earth. And there is a scroll that needs to be unsealed, undone. Verse 8. Now when he, Jesus Christ, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, these are the beings who are up there with God the Father and Jesus Christ in the throne room. They all fell down before the Lamb, Jesus Christ. When they say the Lamb, you know it's Jesus Christ, but it's referring to a time period now of Jesus Christ being sacrificed. That's what it's referring to when it says the Lamb, because he was sacrificed for us. They all fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. We know that there's offerings that were given in the Old Testament, and there was incense and sweet smelling incense, and it was a thing for the benefit of the enjoyment of God the Father. It was to an incense that was pleasing and pleasant. And these bowls that were full of incense, they are the prayers of the saints. Does God enjoy our prayers? He does. And this is right at the end time. I'm sure at the end of this age, there are going to be people that are praying fervently to God. Maybe this is the first time they were called. There are a lot called right there at the end. But they will be praying fervently for God's intervention and for Christ to return. And those prayers of the saints come up, and God is happy with it. Not for what's going on in the world, but for the attitude of the people and their coming before God and asking God to bring this age to an end. Verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Why? For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." They bring up the fact that Jesus Christ died for them. How important was the death of Christ? It was so important that right here at the end, and these people may be living at that time through these troubles, they have to ask for God's forgiveness for their sins. And they're ready to commit themselves to obeying God. From every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. The next chapter is chapter 7 and verse 9. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues." You take that, it's a little different order, but it's the same thing. Tribes, tongues, people, and nations in that chapter before. So this is the innumerable multitude that is saved right there at the end of this age. So you can see what they're going through. You can see why they're so earnest in their prayers. And God says, "Oh, these are my people." He is happy with their prayers. And verse 10, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." We shall reign on the earth who have been faithful to Him. I bring this up in relationship to the whole plan of the Holy Days. It starts with Passover. The death of Jesus Christ. We all have to overcome. We all are on that path and overcoming. We all have been given God's Holy Spirit. Shows at Pentecost shows that, and that we are God's people and God's church gathered together to learn and walk in God's ways and to help each other out. And what do we look forward to? The things we're coming up on in another month. The fall Holy Days. The return of Jesus Christ, and that shows here up in verse 10, the return of Jesus Christ, the people repenting and asking God's forgiveness, and the kingdom of God coming into focus, and God's people becoming kings and priests. What a beautiful picture. And not only that, as Mr. Conway also brought up, our sermons kind of tie together on some of these things, there is an eighth day. There is a day which almost no one in the world has comprehension of, and how immensely important it is. Because we're just a small nugget called now. But God will give everyone His Holy Spirit at one day. They will all be called. Think about it and thank God for the picture that it shows to us. The plan that He gives to us. It's amazing. Point 2, growing a relationship between God and us. Growing that relationship between God and us. What if we can do that? That God wants it. God desires earnestly that we become in one with him. John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20. This is the end of Jesus Christ's life. Maybe a few hours of life left in him. It's the last time he can talk to his disciples. And he's trying to get across those things that they really, really, really need to keep in their mind and get a focus on. John 17 and verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, for the disciples he's referring to, as he's praying to his Father, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. I brought this scripture up simply because that refers to us. I do not pray for just the disciples, but I also pray for the through their word. And that is us. As time has gone down and the word's been passed down, we are part in that line of people. Verse 21, that they may be one as you, Father, and me, and I and you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, that you, God the Father, have loved them. That's us. And as you have loved me. That's an amazing statement right there at the end of verse 23. That you have loved them as you have loved me. We all know God the Father and Jesus Christ loved each other, right? There could be no tighter bond than there is between God the Father and Jesus Christ. And yet at this end of this statement, it says that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. We're loved by God as he loved Jesus Christ. That's amazing. I can't imagine that God would love us that much. But he wants us to make it. And he wants to bond with us. And we need to bond with him. And we need to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. We need to give up our lives, go against the world sometimes, to obey God, to give ourselves to him. That's no better love, bigger love than that kind of love. It's a great love that we need toward God. Proverbs 15, another verse that, verse 8. Another verse that talks about how much God looks forward to our prayers. Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Just because somebody sacrifices to God doesn't mean God even accepts that sacrifice. There's just a lot of people that do things and sacrifice to God, but they don't have a heart. They don't have righteousness. They don't want to obey God. Their sacrifices mean nothing to God. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. God delights in the righteous praying to him. Why? They're communicating with him. You know, what is life if you don't communicate with a person? How can you grow in love if there's no communication? We, in loving God, read and learn his words from his Bible, and he grows in love with us and we in him as we pray to him. And that draws us closer together. And when we pray, you know, that focuses on the most important person in the world. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal that we can do that and that God is there and is there ready. I would think God would be so bored of talking to people at this point, listening to people. 6,000 years of listening to people. I think How could God still want to listen to us? But He does. You know? That's the amazing thing of God. And that's where we need to thank God for the greatness that He is. Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Psalm chapter 5. David says to God, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I pray, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you." Sounds like David every morning had a habit, first thing, praying to God. And that's where we need to be. I'm going to read verse 12. "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." When we start the day, we need protection. I pray every day that God would be there with me, giving me right thoughts, that I could be a proper example to the people I go before, that I would be protected from harm, from those things that are coming my way. We all need every day to start the day, maybe with a good breakfast is fine, you know, start the day with a good meal, but also God's protection, God's help. We should start the day, and it's like, you know, walking out the door without your pants on if you get out there and you haven't prayed. you need it. It's got to be there. It's got to be there. We need God with us. And things shouldn't feel quite right if you go start the day without God on our side. Psalm 103. I kind of wanted a psalm where David specifically kind of laid out a bunch of things of the greatness of God, and this is the psalm I came up with. We all may come up with something different, but this is, to me, this Psalm 103 is pretty cool, and I'm just going to read a few verses of it. But starting in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." God's benefits are great, aren't they, as we just looked at them? "Who forgives all our iniquities." What a blessing that he takes our sins, and when we ask for God's forgiveness, he throws them out the window. How can He do that? We stew about Him after many years afterwards. "Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals our diseases." And there are times that we've had blessings and God's healed us. We know other people that God has healed. Think about those once in a while. God's greatness and His healings. "Who redeems your life from destruction." Have you ever thought about where you would be if God didn't call you and you didn't end up in God's church? And where would you go? It would be a life with just an end. What would be worth it when you think about it? For the plan God gave us, anything else is pretty well worthless. "He redeemed us from destruction. Who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies." God loves us. He has mercies for us. He forgives us when we make mistakes over and over and over again. Verse 5. "Who satisfies your mouth," and He's slow to anger, and he's merciful. Verse 11. "And as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him." We all have to fear God. It's a good thing to fear God. It's not a bad thing. Point that we don't disobey Him. We keep His laws. We look to Him for guidance and help. We need to fear God. So we see those great things about our Father in heaven. Point 3. I just refer this as personal blessings and miracles. Personal. The rest, kind of look at the big generality of everything, and that's good, and how great God is, the plan that He set out there for us. But sometimes we should get specific with God, and we should be thankful for what God has done for you and me. You've had miracles, and you need to thank God for those blessings once in a while. Psalm 116, starting in verses 1 and 3. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him. Verse 3. The pains of death encompass me. This is David talking, and he went through some major, major trials with Saul, with his own son coming after him. So many problems David had in his life. The pains of death encompass me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow, and you understand where he's coming from. Verse 6, and the Lord, in the end, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, and He's dealt bountifully with you too. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I'll stop right there. But you see his gratitude for God delivering out of problems. And quite honestly, there's going to be times that maybe you don't know what to pray about in thankfulness to God. And I was thinking of two things. First of all, if you find yourself that you really haven't taken the time to be thankful to God, why don't you make a prayer? You just take the time one time to totally pray to God. Look at what He's done for you and what He's done for in your life or for others. Thank God. Make it a prayer of thanksgiving to God. That's good. And if you need help, go to the book of Psalms. There's all these little headings over each chapter. There's some you won't want to go to, but there's some that show how great God is. Read a verse. Pray to God about it. Take the time and expand your thoughts through David's prayers. Good thing to do. I'll give you a miracle that happened in my life. And this is when Janet and I, we were young and we had three kids at home, so that was a long time ago. But I was going to wash windows at a bank, and there were second floor windows, and the second floor windows were really 2.5 stories high because how commercial property sometimes they got high ceilings on the first floor. So it was 2.5 stories high. I was on the back of the building, and there was just maybe 10 yards between the two buildings. And I had to put a ladder up there to that second floor, and it was going to be pretty steep. And there was a wire up there, and I had an aluminum ladder. And I was trying to balance it, and the ladder went over and touched the wires. And sometimes you get away with that because there's a rubber coating on them. It just so happened all of these wires were corroded. And I say that because after the event, I went upstairs and I looked at these wires, and they were green. There was green coating on them. But in the process, I was trying to balance that ladder, and it touched the wires. All of a sudden, it's like, and it was like I was under an arc welder. It was like pieces of metal coming down on me, and I pulled it back. And I just pulled it straight back, and I hit the building back behind, but that was all right, because at least I got it off of those wires. And you know what? I never got bit. I never got any electricity coming down on me. Now, maybe I let go of all of them at once, and maybe the electricity went between the two wires and down the ladder and onto the next wire. I don't know. But when I got done with that, when I got that ladder down, I looked at it, and there are weld marks, three big weld marks in that ladder. And if you want to see the proof of that, I brought the ladder today. It's show and tell, kiddies. But after I got down, when I got down, people from the bank, some of the people from the bank came out because their electricity flickered off and on. The people from the jewelry store next door, they came out because their electricity flickered as well. Nobody could believe I was alive, including me. And I went upstairs afterwards and I prayed and thanked God that I was still alive. If he wanted to take me, that was the moment. It was his time. And I'm just saying, all of us have been blessed by God. All of us have had miracles. And all of us need to sometimes think of those, thank God for the blessings that you've been given. It's a wonderful thing. So, in conclusion, what can I say? Thank the Lord. He has blessed us. He's given us, shown us his greatness in his plan that he's made for us. What a wonderful plan. He's shown us how wonderful and gracious and merciful he is, and we know it because we're still here. And we have had those miracles, and we've had those blessings, and we need to take the time to thank God for everything that he has provided for us. What a great God we have.
Thank you, Mr. Kiesel. Now, I'd like to take credit for picking the next song, but really I didn't. Mr. Kiesel came up to me this morning, asked me if I'd put this one in as the last song. So, anyway, it is fitting to go along with the sermon. And if you'll please rise, we'll sing page 168, Thank You, Lord. And after that, we'll have the closing prayer for Mr. Keith Overlander. Sorry, I was going to put him on the spot somehow. 168.
Father in heaven, our Creator, we are thankful to you, thankful for this service, thankful for what you teach us. Father, thankful for your Sabbath and your holy days, that we can understand what you have in mind. Father, thank you for including us at this time in your plan, and guide us in all this coming week to know you better and to serve you better. Father, we thank you that we can bring these things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that. I'm going to go to the school. So we'll have to see.